It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies, feline, with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
A tweet during the morning show from a listener. And apparently this listener didn't like a topic that we were on, and he tweeted me and said, is it 10 o'clock yet so we can hear some real sports talk? Do you know what show this is at 10? You're here for real sports talk? I got stuff to talk about, like a sanctioned documentary that's going to come on Prime that has government officials acknowledging that they have been hiding non-human intelligent life. Now, I can't identify everyone because I'm not a big CNN, MSNBC, Fox News guy, but I do know Marco Rubio's in it. He's in there talking about how presidents have been on a need-to-know basis when it comes to, let's say, alien life and alien craft. So I'll tell you about that a little bit. So, Brian, I'm not sure you're going to get the real sports talk you're looking for. We will try. We got stuff to get to, like the show on Netflix, Starting Five. Got some interesting sound from Kevin Durant. It's a short clip, but it's about the rumors regarding his non-trade during the season when Phoenix was trying to get rid of him and his reaction to it. So we'll hear from Kevin Durant on that. Of course, Phoenix's mistake is our game. He is now a Houston Rocket, so we'll hear from him there. Of course, we're moving towards Texans versus Seahawks, and there's some numbers, at least a stat, to talk about regarding what you might see on Monday night, because the Seahawks are really good doing one thing and the Texans are really bad doing another. And we'll see how those go back and forth when it comes to the Texans on offense and the Seahawks on defense. So certainly plenty to get to. Of course, we had the playoffs last night in baseball, and for anyone preying on the downfall of the Mariners, it didn't feel great early when Rodriguez hit that home run, but everything else after that was a Blue Jays runaway. So that series is now tied 2-1. We may have a series there. It is the opposite of the Charles Barkley thing where he says the series doesn't start till someone wins a home game. Now no one wins home games. We've had this before. The ALCS, the last one that Astros were in, no one could win a home game. And of course, if it goes that way again, then we get the short end of the stick here because then the Mariners are in the World Series. So that series is now 2-1. We'll have Dodgers, Brewers, and all that stuff going forward. But as we move forward, I want to let you know that we have a couple pair of Cougar tickets to give away. So if you were hoping to go to the game against Arizona, we're going to have those tickets to give away. We would only have one, but the John Lance Show is so unprofessional, they never got to give away the second pair. Or their pair, excuse me. Too much love for Josh Pate. Too many games to be played. So we do have another pair of tickets. So if you're hoping to do that, we'll give away a pair in the first hour and the second hour because I got to keep you around. Sean suggested, you know, maybe we give away two at the same time. I was like, come on, man. I got to keep people fiending until the 11 o'clock hour for Cougar tickets against the Arizona Wildcats. We've talked about it all week. The Cougs at 5-1. 2-1 in the Big 12, trying to get to 3-1 against an Arizona team that's coming off a heartbreaking loss. They were at home and lost in overtime to BYU. So if you want to see the Cougs bright and early, we'll give you your chance to do that. Okay, so the Texans weren't, at least not that I saw, they weren't available to the media. We did play sound a couple of days ago from at least yesterday from D'Amico on some of his favorite players. He talked about Jalen Petrie. We know he loves him, and he also talked about what the Seahawks do great offensively. and that's the play action, and that'll be something we focus on Monday, because their Kubiak strain of offense, Shanahan Kubiak, illustrated by the fact that a son of Kubiak is calling their play. So expect a lot of play action. Sam Darnold's an athletic quarterback, so he'll be out on the perimeter. So that'll be something the Texans have to worry about. But as far as the Texans' offense is concerned, they are very good doing one thing and very poor, and the Seahawks are very good doing another thing. The Texans are number one in explosive player pass rate against zone, and they're 31st in the league against man. So the Seahawks and their secondary, that's been up and down, playing man is going to be the way they go about trying to shut down the Texans. CJ, when you give him a little time and you give him windows to throw into, he's been really good this year. The Texans offense has been, but it's been talked about that the Texans receivers don't do a great job separating. They're with Hutchinson and Nico, they're kind of guys that have to build up to pick up speed. They're less elusive in short area, and Christian Kirk is Christian Kirk. He's fine, but he's not a featured part of this offense, and you're still waiting on Noel to pop. And, of course, without Tank Dell, some of your explosiveness is out the door. So can the Texans get open against man will be one of the things I take a look at, and we'll see how much the Seahawks do to put them in spots to have to create separation. You know, Nick Haley has gotten a lot more credit than he has the first than he had the first 3 weeks because of how the offense has operated. And we've talked quite a bit about, is that opponent specific because of how bad the opponents are? It'll be a test for him. Can he get his guys open against a Mike McDonald defense? And that's, we talked about the Kubiak strain of offense. That's a Raven strain of defense. Unlike the Ravens team we saw this year, but it's going to be a team that plays games at the line of scrimmage and want to get free blitzers, and the Seahawks are great at getting free blitzers, unblocked pressures, and the Texans running backs are some of the worst in football at protecting the quarterback. So while Nick Chubb was a guy who was brought in partly because he was good at protecting the quarterback, and Willie Marks had, I believe, a good grade from PFF in college protecting the quarterback, that hasn't played out that way. And we all remember the Dare block. Dare is less involved in that, probably mostly because of that play, I guess, on Monday night, I believe, against Tampa Bay. But Texans haven't done a good job protecting their quarterback from the running back position. And if the Seahawks are going to be tricking the offensive line, the backs are going to step up. That some of that's going to be on CJ too. So it'll be a real test for those Texans running backs to see if they can weather what's going to be a tough place to get protections right. It's going to be loud. It'll be a real challenge for CJ, considering how much more they want to put on his plate and how much more he wants on his plate to navigate that environment. I was trying to think of through his career. Now it's not that long. We're talking 2+ years now. He hasn't played up in Seattle. He did play in Minnesota, which is a tough place to play, partly because of crowd noise, partly because of what Brian Flores can do. And the Texans didn't fare well there last year. And they have tried to fix some of their issues regarding twists and stunts, and they've done a much better job of that. But going to Seattle and dealing with the noise and all the games that a Mike McDonald defense will play with their line and their quarterback's head, and hell, even the play caller, Nick Haley, it'll be a real test of who they are and how good they think their offense is after the bye week. So those are a couple things I'll be focused on as the Texans take the field on Monday. We'll talk more about them tomorrow. That'll be our final show of the week. And, of course, I'll get to a little bit of it on Monday, too, with the Monday night game. So that's about it for the Texans. I believe they'll be back at practice today, and then we will certainly hear from them on the show tomorrow. Okay. Before we go, though, Sean, can you find the sound from Jonathan Gannon that's over there? Because it's been an interesting year for the Cardinals in multiple ways. Kyler Murray's missed time. He missed the game against the Colts last week. Kyler Murray already also had his issue when he had to apologize for wearing a Michael Vick jersey and having a pit bull in a photo shoot. oddly enough, that might have bothered some people. And Kyler Murray had to go, you know what? I didn't mean anything by it. I love my dogs. I think one of them's named Swoosh. I forgot what the other one was named. He let everyone know he's a dog lover, and he didn't mean anything by it. Well, play this clip from Jonathan Gannon, and I'll tell you, if you don't know, how the Kyler Murray thing and this Jonathan Gannon thing connect.
How early in your career did you have to start trying to figure out how to take the emotion out of coaching, as far as when you have all these injuries and you have all these different pieces? When's the first time that you can recall that?
2007, when our quarterback went to jail.
Coach, thank you.
Where was Jonathan Gannon coaching in 2007, you might ask? He was coaching for the Falcons. And who was their quarterback at the time? Michael Vick. So if I'm Michael Vick, I got to snuff one of these guys. Enough. That was, as you can hear, 18 years ago. I'm coaching at Norfolk State. My reputation's been cleaned up. That is the second time the Cardinals in some way, shape, or form have referenced dogfighting and Michael Vick. If I'm Michael Vick, I'm like, guys, enough. Enough. We're all good here, right? I don't know if Calais Campbell has any smoke for Michael Vick. I had to start trying to think of other Cardinals that I remember. Trey McBride, you got something for Michael Vick? So there it is. Jonathan Gannon was the defensive quality control coach for those Falcons in 07, and that was the year Michael Vick disappeared from the football world because of the dogfighting. So, second time in a matter of 6 weeks, the Cardinals have referenced that moment in some way, shape, or form. I'm glad Michael Vick's doing better.
It's a big moment. That was a big moment.
It is one of the weirder, but yes, seminal moments in sports. A starting quarterback goes to jail, like a star quarterback.
Yeah,
like not just a random starter, a star quarterback with deals with Nike and Madden.
Uncover a video game.
Yeah,
like
went to jail.
Honestly, imagine that happened today. It'd be insane.
Who's on the cover of Madden this year in 26 for the Madden 26 game? I don't know. So yeah, think of it that way.
Probably not great for Madden. Then
Saquon is on the cover.
Okay.
Has Joe Burrow been on the cover before? He might have been. So yeah. To your point, if it was a star level quarterback who. Maybe one of the coolest quarterbacks to ever play as far as what he did on the field and all the things that surrounded him.
The last quarterback that's been on Madden was Josh Allen in 24. Imagine if Josh Allen got hauled off in handcuffs.
Yeah, for cockfighting up in Buffalo. And the perp walk is happening and his new wife is chasing after him. And speaking of that, they asked Josh Allen about what being married has taught him. And he said that perhaps I'm more than football. And some fans like, oh, we're cooked now. He has other things on his mind than football. We're definitely cooked. We haven't won a Super Bowl while he was supremely focused on football. Now that he's got a family, mm-hmm. We're done. It's just a mindset of a fan. Yeah. So, yeah, to your point, if a quarterback like Josh Allen got wheeled off or hauled off because he was involved in some illicit things – and illegal things, it would be a giant, giant story, just like it was. I still remember the helicopters over the property as they were digging up dog graves. I still remember that stuff. Crazy times. Crazy times. And the Cardinals have never forgotten it.
No, somehow the Cardinals are the ones that are keeping the memory alive.
Yeah, I don't know if Kyler Murray kept those video those pictures up on his Instagram, because I don't go to Kyler Murray's Instagram. But if you didn't see him, he was in a vintage Virginia Tech Michael Vick jersey, and he had one of his pet pit bulls in the pictures, and he had to apologize for all of that. So, and Jonathan Gannon has not forgotten his time with Michael Vick as well. All right,
The pictures are no longer up.
I would think that would be the case, but
unless it's a part of a slight nope, just paintball.
But it's the internet.
His last post is him at a paintball event.
But it's the internet, so the picture survives someplace. All right, we'll go to break with that. If you want to join the show, you're more than welcome. 713-780-3776. As I said, we'll get to the giveaways for the Cougar tickets. We also have Dewberry Farm tickets to give away. So if you want to spend a night or an afternoon with the pumpkins and the attractions at Dewberry Farm. Stay tuned. We'll get those tickets to you, or a chance to get those tickets to you as well. So when we come back, we'll hear from Zaire Franklin. Why? Because he was on maybe the best podcast on the face of the earth, the Club 520 podcast with Jeff Teague. And he had some thoughts on Brian Branch and Juju Smith-Schuster. We didn't talk about it yesterday, but Brian Branch got suspended for a game for the altercation he had with Juju Smith-Schuster, where he ripped off the helmet of Smith-Schuster, bloodied his nose, apparently was grabbing his ear at one point. And Zaire Franklin, the Colts linebacker, has some thoughts. We'll get to that when we come back.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Forgot to mention that George Springer hit another home run. He continues up the list of all-time leaders in home runs. The bulk of it clearly will be as an Astro, but he's finding some success in Toronto, and he helped them get back into the series, now just down 2-1. See if they can even that thing up and make it a long series in the ALCS. And of course the Brewers have that same challenge ahead of them as they have to go win games in LA. But let's get to Pena, then we'll hear from the Club 520 podcast and Zaire Franklin on why Brian Branch may have been justified in doing what he did after the game. Let's get to Pena here first. All right. What's up, Pena?
Hey, what's up, Dale? I'm going out on a date on Friday, tomorrow. We're going to go see that new movie, Black Phone 2. I don't know if you're interested or not. What do you think of it?
Going on the date?
I'm kidding. What was that?
Nothing. Go ahead. Am I interested in Black Phone 2? I saw Black Phone 1.
Yeah, it was all right, but she's into scary movies, so I'm like, well, whatever. They're kind of lame to me, but also yesterday I saw that was trending on the internet, Kim Kardashian's new thing she got going on. I don't know if y'all seen it. Would y'all like y'all's girlfriend to wear those? Thank you. Have a great day.
I don't know what you're talking about. I have to look that up. As far as Black Phone 2, I will watch it. I was going to say it's an odd thing to take a date to. Considering the subject matter, I think, but if it's not a first date and you have an ongoing thing and you know what she likes, then it's fine. I hope it's as good as the first one. The first one was chilling and creepy and all the good things you want in a horror movie. This one, apparently, from the trailer, is going to be about the younger sister of the guy who was the victim, the main victim in the first one. He survived.
I have word from someone unnamed that has seen press screening.
Why does he have to be unnamed?
Embargo.
Is it embargo?
It's embargo.
He can't even go good or bad?
Who watched it is embargo.
Oh, who watched it is embargo.
Yes, for me, personally. I'm personally embargoing it like a pirate.
I know who watched it. He mentioned it, and I saw it come up on my algorithm.
Who's to say?
Who knows? Who knows? And I just looked over after the call, and I just went, Black Phone 2, good date movie, bad date movie. And he said, great date movie.
Great date movie.
Payne, are you going to get so laid?
I don't know if that's the case.
I mean.
Is that what it takes? If the movie is great?
Yeah.
Then it's.
That to me is what differentiates it.
So.
Also single, so let that kind of figure.
Michael Carroll said, as a single man, he doesn't know how, if he's could be someone who gives a great date movie review. I don't know. I hope it goes great for Pena.
That's the non-player opinion in my right there.
I'm more
ways than one.
Not well, maybe he is a player. That's why he's single.
Yeah,
but I would say I have no idea whether your date's gonna love it. But
I have no idea who you're going on a date with.
So I can't speak to what will happen and how she will react.
I also have not seen this movie.
Yeah, so. I don't know anything about the situation as a whole, but hopefully everyone involved enjoys it.
Yeah. And people love Ethan Hawke.
And if it turns into even when he's wearing a creepy mask and trying to kill children.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. Yeah, sure, fine. And if it goes well, it goes well. And as I believe I said, it's going to be – the sister is a part of Black Phone 1 as she tries to help her brother. I think it's going to be the reverse of that as the guy goes, well, I couldn't get you, so I'm going to go after your sister. That's what the trailer looks like. And should be a good movie. Hopefully it has the same type of beats, just switched up a little bit as Black Phone 1, because they hit on the beats that Black Phone 1 did. It'll be a good time. Well, at least a good movie. I don't know if you'll have a good time. The subject matter's not great.
Well, you know.
The murder of children.
It's either that or Tron Ares, all right?
Yeah, the Jared Leto experience. Not a great one for people.
All right, so, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, or you could watch the Leo movie or the Rock movie. Those are out there for you as well. But
I feel like Smashing Machine would not be a great date movie.
Tron Ares probably wouldn't, unless...
I mean, it's just not a great movie, so...
Unless your girl loves herself some Jared Leto, and that might lead to something, because she can imagine Jared Leto's face on yours. I don't know.
Yeah.
Got no idea. But good luck to everyone involved who are using movies to impress women, or the other way around. Well, no matter what you're trying to do, good luck.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would say it couldn't be me, because I don't think I'd take... It wouldn't be my first thought to take a woman to Black Phone 2.
Yeah, Black Phone 2 would have been tough.
Yeah. How's it going to look when I've got my hands over my eyes while things are going on?
Yeah. How will she think of me when I go, huh?
Yeah, when I do the jump scare, how's that going to go for me? Yeah, I can feel her rolling her
throwing
eyes
at popcorn
me.
All over the place.
Yeah. I spill my Sour Patch Kids.
Yeah.
What's the deal? So, yeah. Michael, I guess, is going to give us a bit of a review tomorrow as he joins us, because he's seen Black Phone 2.
Someone's going to give us a review tomorrow.
I've already given it away. And so did he. He walked in here and
yelled off Mike, which is always great.
And now he's giving me a thumbs up. So he'll give us a review of Black Phone 2 tomorrow.
Now he's giving
me
two thumbs up.
He's fond.
Maybe we'll have him power rank the movies currently out as date movies.
Yeah, let's do that. Smashing Machine, where does that rank? Where does Tron Ares rank as far as the date
just
movie?
Don't yell off Mike. Save this for tomorrow.
We got to keep the people coming back. Save that for tomorrow. Told you, listener who said, when's the real sports talk start? I told you. You must not know.
10:30 right now.
You must not know what this show is about if you think that's going to happen. Well, let's actually get to something sports related. Although, I mean, the NFL wouldn't have appreciated this, and they certainly didn't, as they gave Brian Branch a fine and a suspension of one game. So if you missed it, at the end of the Chiefs-Lions game on Sunday night, the Chiefs were just kneeling it out. Game was over. Brian Branch didn't appreciate what Juju Smith-Schuster did, came up behind him and blocked him, nothing to do with the play, and he wanted to get some get back. So he did after the game. Ignored Patrick Mahomes trying to dap him up, went after Juju, ripped his helmet off, bloodied his nose, grabbed him by the ear. All the still shots are getting more and more embarrassing for Juju. If you just have a flip book of all the pictures of that event, everything makes Juju Smith-Schuster look worse. There's one linebacker who the Texans will have to see twice this year, as long as he's healthy. Zaire Franklin of the Colts believes that Juju Smith-Schuster deserved all of it. Here's Zaire Franklin on the Club 520 podcast.
First of all, Juju needed his ass whooped.
Damn.
Let's just go there, number one.
Why does everybody say that?
Him specifically really needs his ass whooped.
What's wrong with Juju?
Bro, he been needing his ass whooped for a minute. Brian Baird's doing the work of the Lord, bro. Whoop that man ass, bro.
Shout out to that. What did Juju do?
Bro, he's an ass bro.
Okay.
I heard that though.
And he is sneak this. Like, this is my thing. I'ma talk greasy to you. We gonna go right up. And when we get that 1-on-1, I ain't gonna duck the smoke.
Yeah.
So whether I win or lose, it is what it is. He the type that's gonna do all the little weird sneaky stuff, push you behind the back, go run, tell the ref. You like, bro, shut your little weird up. Then try to be cool with you after. First of all, y'all seen the picture though?
The picture's crazy.
His nose crazy. Yeah.
Bro, you can't be crying with your nose black. Like, you got kids, bro. Like, what's going to happen when your son? Come on, bro.
Hey, bro, you crazy.
But that's how I think. I'd be like, bro, I really be feeling. Yeah. I'm like, bro, I can't let y'all do my son in the stands. I can't let you put your hands on me. My girl watching.
That's a fact.
She might like you now after this. Like, I guess, I'm going to tell my girl I'll come home. I just got my ass whooped. On Sunday night. just beat me up.
What's so crazy is it was just unanimous with everybody saying that. It was like, yeah, he deserved it. I'm like, damn, what did he do?
Everybody was saying that. Like, I'm so glad they hit Juju, man. I'm like, damn, what did he do?
Dang.
I used to like him in Pittsburgh.
Well, it doesn't really compare. That's how I feel about jumping in a scary movie if my girl's with me. How Zaire Franklin feels about, I can't get beat up because my girl's in the stands. That would be for me. I can't take you, at least if maybe if you're not my girl, if you are a first date to a scary movie and watch me jump and close my eyes and hide from the screen, how's that going to look? I got family. That's my girl. I can't do that. So there it is. Juju Smith-Schuster deserved all of it, according to Colts linebacker Zaire Franklin.
And apparently others. According to Jeff.
Yeah, I don't think I saw anyone who's like, oh, poor Juju. I don't think I saw that anywhere.
Yeah. Well, I feel like we get mostly the like media of the sanitized media opinion where, like, you know, we'll see Dan Orlovsky's tweet about it. I think Jeff Teague's talking about the people we're thinking.
That's what I'm talking about. My algorithm sometimes just has the people talking about it. And all the people are like, Juju got what he should have got. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But, like, you know, Mina Kimes isn't going to be like, yeah, Juju got what's coming to him. You know, like,
that's true. There's a brand there that you can't tarnish. And if you're talking about.
Mike Tirico isn't like, you love seeing those.
You love to see it.
Great. Perfect.
As a representative of NBC and in some ways the NFL as well, Mike Tirico probably can't go.
Hell,
he deserves
yeah.
all that Hell ass yeah. beating.
Hit him again.
Yeah. What? Hey, the refs are the problem because they got in the way of it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's not a message the NFL wants to send.
Aiden Hutchinson get a shot in too, huh?
anyone could have smoke for Juju. And I guess the rest of the NFL is like, good, hit him again. So there it is. One game suspension for Brian Branch. They had the appeals process. It was upheld. So he's going to have to sit down for a week. But maybe it's well worth it because he said Juju tried to bully him. Julian, I see you. You're up next. We'll come back with you. Anyone else want to join us? 713-780-3776. If you got a suggestion for a movie to take your girl to, we welcome it. Or NFL players you think should get beat up, we welcome that too. We'll be back.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So while Black Phone 2 was the subject of conversation in the previous segment, we will play something from Kevin Durant in a little bit. He is part of the Netflix documentary Starting Five. And while we know he's a Rocket, there were real conversations about whether he might be a Warrior or a member of the Miami Heat or a member of the Minnesota Timberwolves. And that stretches back to the trade deadline last year. And he certainly has some thoughts, so he was asked about it, so we'll hear from him on that. But let's get to Julian first. He wants to talk about Juju Smith-Schuster. What's up, Julian?
What it is, Jive Turkeys. Nick Wright, who desperately wants to have Patrick Mahomes' baby, the other day he had said that the Chiefs bullied Branch during the game, which obviously Branch has said. He said, and then the Chiefs bullied him after the game. How, when Juju Smith-Schuster had that bloody nose and was crying? Also, bang, bang, Niner game!
Well, the man decided he didn't want to be here for a week. I guess if you do call in, we'll hear from you next Thursday, Julian. That's the standing rule. When he does that, he's out for a week. I don't know why he's calling in about his injured ass team. Fred Warner, out for the year. I think Brock Purdy may be back at practice, but they've overcome quite a bit to be 4-2. They are coming off a loss, so still in the thick of the NFC West race, which is a tough division. When you include the Seahawks and the Rams, and of course the Texans can muddle that division up a little bit more if they can get a win on Monday. But there's Julian. Yeah, I didn't see how much bullying the Chiefs were doing to Branch during the game. He made reference to it. They were trying to bully him. I don't think he said that they were getting bullied. He was getting bullied, but he had had enough. Why Brian Branch was the guy they wanted to go after, I don't know. Either way, the Chiefs won that game. And I thought, at least for a little bit, that the Lions were going to bury the Chiefs, and the Chiefs were going to be one of those teams at 2-4 who you have to seriously consider not being in the playoff chase. They're the Chiefs, so they said no, that's not going to be the case. They won a home game, a big one for them, and now they're back to 3-3 and 500. And they sit a game behind the leaders in the AFC West. A very winnable division. Yeah, they haven't gotten off to a great start, but the Chargers have offensive line issues, and even when Joe Alt comes back, they're not going to be a great offensive line. And, of course, the Broncos, they're good defense. I'll give them that. I just don't know if Sean Payton can baby Bo Nix to another season. And maybe they make the playoffs, but as long as Mahomes is active and healthy, I think the Chiefs will win that division. It'll just be a little bit tougher for them, considering how they started. All right, we're close to a break, but before we go to break, let's do this. Caller 4 at 10:45. Caller 4 at 10:45 wins a pair of tickets to watch the Cougs versus the Arizona Wildcats. You want to go see the Cougs, 5-1, face the Arizona Wildcats at home at TDECU. Now it's your chance, and we'll give you another chance in the second hour as well. But Cougs, Wildcats, homecoming for the Cougs as they try to win another game in the Big 12 and be bowl eligible, which is a nice accomplishment after Willie Fritz's first year, where I believe they went 4-8. You get the 6 wins and 7 chances. That's a real good start to your year. So the Cougs are going to try to do that on Saturday. So it's Houston's team, and they want you to create a real home field advantage. Come early, be loud, and wear red. 713-780-3776. Call in, 10:45. You win the pair of tickets. And if you don't win them from us, go to uhcougars.com/tickets, or you can call 713-GO-COUGS to get your tickets today. And I support a good football program building, and let's see if they can continue the chase for a potential Big 12 title. Look, it's Texas Tech and everyone else right now, but if you can make sure you're in the race for Dallas or Arlington, I guess, through 7 games, that's good work by Willie Fritz. He joins us, or at least the morning show, every Tuesday at 7:05.
What caller number did you say?
I think I said 4, but I actually don't remember.
I don't think you said one.
So. Maybe I said, fine.
Too early, still.
Yeah, put the X on them. Fine, if I didn't say a number, caller 5 at 10:45.
Yeah, whatever.
Caller 5 at 10:45.
We can mix it up.
Whatever. Yeah, whatever, and then we'll do it again in the next hour. I apologize if I did not say a number, but caller 5 at 10:45 wins the tickets to see the Cougs versus the Wildcats at TDECU. Let's go to break with that. We'll come back, and it'll be something we get to quickly, but we have a new host for First Take, with Molly Kierum being, well, I guess she's left on her own. They did a little tryout. I don't know if we've ever heard of this person before, but we do have a new host for Host Take to be the moderator between Stephen A. Smith and his gallery of co-hosts. But before we get to any of that, let's get to Monument Chevrolet. You should get to there. It is still truck month. They extended truck month into another month, so you should take advantage of the deals for those trucks, whether you want a Silverado 1500 or maybe another in the line of Silverados. It's all there for you at Monument Chevrolet. And, of course, if you want the EV vehicles, they're there for you. They have some really cool ones. They got that Blazer I've talked about quite a bit. It's sleek. It's nice on the inside. It's modern. It's all the things you want from a vehicle. So when a great company that's been in business for a long time gives you a deal, you should take advantage of it. And you can see all those deals at MonumentChevrolet.com. Find the vehicle of your choice, and then head on out there to Pasadena off of Bellway 8 and 225. It's pretty simple. You're going to meet great people who put you in a great car. Whether it's pre-owned or new, or maybe you're a business owner and want something for your fleet, it's all there for you. When you get there, when you meet a salesperson, realize that they're doing their very best to get you into the best car possible for you at that best price for you. Because what you see on the website is what you get on the lot. The prices aren't going to change. There are no secret fees, no hidden fees, no upcharges. It's all there, straightforward for you. Get you into a great car and get you out of there. They understand. Car buying is tricky, but you don't want to be on the lot for a long time. In and out as quickly as they can. and in the best car for you. So remember, monumentchevrolet.com is the website, and they're in Pasadena off of Beltway 8 and 225. And as always, Chevrolet, together let's drive.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
So we have our winner for the Cougs tickets. We'll do it again in the next hour. Let's get to this. I talked about it. Kevin Durant was a part of trade discussions during the season. Didn't work out. All brought about because the Suns were desperate to get Jimmy Butler. And when they realized no one on the face of the earth wanted to take on Bradley Beal's contract, they were stuck. And then they decided to, I guess, pick Jimmy Butler over Kevin Durant, which seemed odd. The Suns' odd decision is the Rockets' gain. Here's Kevin Durant in the middle of this because I believe Starting Five was filmed during last season. Of course, they did all the editing, and now it's available for you to watch now. Here's Kevin Durant. You'll hear from Malika Andrews and I think another ESPN personality on the trade. We also hear Kevin Durant on the rumors and what he thought of him at the time.
Noisy. I was just like, well, it's kind of hit me. A little bigger than the program. It can happen to me, too.
If they're not going to trade Devin Booker, if you can't trade Bradley Beal, then the natural next place you look is Kevin Durant.
It's become the Wild Wild West right now. Nothing is too far-fetched in this league.
From what I'm told, there are multiple teams making really aggressive calls to the Suns on Kevin Durant.
I'm hearing real people that I respect and that are credible in this business telling me that this is about to go down. So I'm like, on the phone, I was heavy that whole time. I was like, no fucking way they try to do this behind my back. And they say that to me. I said, well, that's fucked up. I understand the business. I know I'm the guy. This was going south. I'd be the easiest to train, you know what I'm saying? But don't send me to the Warriors. That's what I was saying. I know if you got to trade me, like, make it somewhere else but the Warriors.
We heard that at the time, that he didn't want to play for the Warriors. The Warriors really wanted him. So while the Suns' primary was Jimmy Butler and the Warriors' primary was Kevin Durant, the Suns had to settle for, I guess, Jalen Green and Brooks and picks. And the Warriors settled for Jimmy Butler and then gave him the extension he desperately wanted, which is one of the reasons he had to get out of Miami. So that's part of why Kevin Durant is here, and also what he did in the offseason when he kind of made sure Minnesota knew, nah, I don't want to be a T-Wolf. Anthony Edwards is cool and all, but that's not where I want to be. And all in all, the Rockets just sat back and waited. And they got exactly what they wanted out of it. Minimal cost and a player they believe can lead them to a title. So if you're interested in that, it's the entire thing, the entire breakdown of his because it was in real time because they had the cameras on him in real time. You can watch, I think it's called Starting Five on Netflix. I don't know that I'm going to watch the whole thing, but I did find that the Kevin Durant part of it and that the fact that they had cameras on him at the time as he was trying to figure out where he was going to play was fortunate for them to have it, and it's good content.
I feel like they always wait too long to release these.
Yeah, because we're already near the season. I know they're doing it because it's basketball season, and they want to have it coincide. People must be interested in basketball, so let's put it out.
There'll be real basketball on Tuesday.
But it's kind of old news.
Yeah, it's stuff that happened last season. Like, I get that the turnaround, like, there is time that needs to be taken to actually turn it around. at the same time, I don't know. Hard Knocks makes a
Hard
thing
Knocks
a,
does it in
a week
season.
Later.
Yeah, Hard Knocks does it in season, but I wonder if it has to get cleared and they and the players are like, no, I don't want this out during the season.
I can see that, but
at least the individual, because with Hard Knocks, you're doing it with the team, so the team can just say, yeah, put it out. But if you are grabbing individual players, they may not want their real in time interactions to be known a week later.
I guess
while the season's still going on,
can we do this in like July
when there's a slow time in sports?
So people would want to watch a documentary about sports. I mean, the NFL, the football documentaries do the same thing, where the football documentaries come out on August 23rd, and you're like, well, in 1 week there's going to be real football on. So this eight part Cowboys documentary, like, I will sit and watch it. No. This actually would have been The Last Dance if it came out in July. And that one, you don't need, you know, they're talking about 25 years ago. You don't need that much editing time.
Yeah, I don't know what goes into their decision.
The schedule. It's just the scheduling of it that I'm just like, what are we doing? October? Just the most busy time in sports? You're just like, hey, remember when Kevin Durant almost got traded in February? 8 months ago, remember?
It could have been a summer doc, and maybe they thought it would get lost because it's a basketball doc in the summer and how many people care. And they decided, hey, basketball's on the brain. Let's throw it out there. And it features Kevin Durant, James Harden's in there, Anthony Edwards is in there as well. A lot of big names are in there. James Harden, he was doing a sit-down. Like, they compiled a couple of clips together, but in one clip he was talking about how he's got a girlfriend. And then in the next clip, the producer is sitting down with them, and she's pretty much asked, are you in love? And James like, why did I sign up to do this? Why am I here? Pretty much. And he, I guess he mocked walking off. So that's out there for you if you want some behind-the-scenes basketball content. As far as what you're going to get to watch, Sean mentioned it, the games are starting, at least the ones that matter, start next week.
Yeah.
But this is the schedule so far when it comes to what service you have to have. Sunday as a whole, it's ABC, NBC/Peacock. Monday, if you were looking for a national game and you don't have League Pass, just Peacock. Tuesday is an NBC Peacock night. Wednesday is an ESPN night. Thursday is a Prime night. Friday is a Prime ESPN night. And Saturday is a Prime ABC day. So every night of the week, if you're not a fan of the Rockets and you want to watch big games that don't feature the Rockets, every night of the week you're going to have a streaming service providing you one of those matchups. And sometimes it'll just be the Rockets because they're going to be on those primetime games, or at least there's nationally televised games pretty much quite a bit. I think they have over 30 of them this year. So either way, you got a lot of basketball opportunities. I wonder if there'll be a feeling of oversaturation. I guess it all depends on what you decide to intake. But, yeah, it'll be there for you.
Yeah, I guess it'll also depend on, like, It's even less about, like, the same team being on primetime over and over. It's more like that same team is not good and on primetime over and over.
So I wonder how it'll work, because just because they have all these different options, they're still going to put the big teams on there. So if let's say the Celtics they won't be terrible. They've still got Jaylen Brown, Derek White, but they're not looked at as a title contender. What if they get off to a bad start?
Jaylen Brown sprains his ankle and is out for 6 weeks.
If they get off to a bad start, are the Celtics like on national TV 3 times a week with this setup?
That's what, you know, you need to avoid. But also, if there's a national game every day of the week, it's like, okay, whatever. This Wednesday night Celtics game didn't pan out.
I don't have to watch
it. Yeah. Believe it or not, Celtics Sixers, there's a couple guys out. So it's a little less interesting. But hey, you know what? Tomorrow I can just get back on there.
You'll have another opportunity. Yeah. And we're in the middle of, 48, 49 straight days of football anyway.
Yeah,
You can distract yourself with that.
You enjoy Sam Houston UTEP?
I didn't.
Were you one of the 600 people that are reported attendance?
That's the story. They played it where the Dynamo play their games, and they could have played it in a high school gym as far as attendance is concerned.
Like, yes, at a high school gymnasium.
Yeah, I mean, you can't actually play a football game in there.
Yes,
but the attendance levels, you could have done that.
That'd be so funny if they played.
How poorly attended
not,
the game was.
Not even, just, they played on a high school field.
There's some great high school stadiums in the state of Texas.
People would be like, what? you're limiting the attendance to like 2,000 people. Like, that's not going to be
a problem. Like how the MLS, well, speaking of playing in an MLS stadium, it's how the MLS does it. They don't build 40,000 seat stadiums for their clubs because why would you do that? They spent like the first 10 years of their existence doing that, and you watched all the – well, they didn't build them. They're playing in NFL stadiums. You saw the empty seats. More cozy is better for it, better for the entire experience.
I will say for Sam Houston State, it's a hike. It's a hike.
Trip. It is a trip.
Especially if you're going to be playing on Wednesday nights to ask your fans and student body. I mean, especially like your student section to travel like 60 miles away from campus.
Particularly at the time for an 0-6 football team. Now they're 0-7, but am I traveling
an hour
for this team?
An hour plus?
For this team to play UTEP of all teams? Why am I doing that?
Yeah. Like, I mean, we joke about how they could do it in a high school field, but, like, legitimately, a local Huntsville high school, like, would be a better option.
You would get more people. And the high school would be excited to have them if we're playing this game. It would be. It's an embarrassing look for a team who's won FCS titles. But
is this not embarrassing? That's not embarrassing.
I mean, if they had kept it in Huntsville, we wouldn't be talking about it. So I guess it is a bit embarrassing. But there it is. They got beat. The Bearcats got beat by the Miners 35-17 at where the Dynamo play. Mm. And not many people were in attendance.
They better not have screwed up the pitch.
Well, the Dynamo aren't in the playoffs, right? So what do we care? Just don't screw up the pitch. Resod that thing. The season's over. You can resod that thing. All right.
I like to imagine Pat Onstad just staring with his arms folded, like they better not F up this field.
Well, they do have a match, but it's not at home, so the season's not over for them just yet. They do have Sporting KC.
Ugh, hate those guys.
They were a big rival at a time when the Dynamo actually were contenders.
F those guys.
Yeah, it's Graham Zusi. Get F out of here, Graham Zusi. But the Dynamo aren't competing at the top of the league anymore. They're just scrapping and clawing, and they're not making the playoffs this year, so
it's a rebuilding year. It was always going to be like this.
How many years have they been rebuilding, Sean? They do have like a U.S. Open Cup title randomly when they beat Messi's team, when they beat Inter Miami. Yeah. But other than that, it's been not good.
No.
And is that why they're renting out their stadium to the Bearcats to get any type of revenue in there?
Every game. That's a... You know, Argentine 17-year-old that we can throw a couple of dollars at.
Sure. And speaking of that, Argentina beat Colombia in the under-20 World Cup semifinals. They beat them 1-0. And
we can get one of those guys.
It'll be
thanks to Sam Houston.
Feels unlikely.
Paying rent.
Feels unlikely. And Argentina will be playing Morocco. Morocco beat France. So some ties there between France and Morocco. Just Moroccans moving to France. There's some ties there. And also, of course, one of the bigger South American rivalries, Colombia and Argentina. Those two games went down. And it'll be Morocco trying to win a title against the Argentines. All right, we'll go to break. And then we will come back with hour two. We'll give you a chance in hour two to win tickets to the Cougs. They're playing at their own stadium in the city, not traveling anywhere to host the Arizona Wildcats. So if you want to have a chance to be a part of that, we'll give you that chance in the second hour. We also have those Dewberry Farm tickets to give away. So if you want to take your family, it is a 4-pack of tickets to go to Dewberry Farm, enjoy all the rides. You know, they got the pumpkin patch out there and the sweet treats. That's awaiting you in the second hour as well. We will be back.
ESPN 97.5.